Today's reading is taken from Acts 1, verses 1 to 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven."
Today's reading is taken from the first chapter of Ephesians, verses 15 to 23, and is from the New International Version. "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of the Lord."
Good morning. Firstly, I want to say a massive thank you to all the young people and families that have helped put today together, and for all the effort that goes in each week. From recording videos to writing down their thoughts on scripture, it's been a lot of work for both them and their families. Thank you. You are what makes this possible. Let me pray before I begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that all the preparation and the time and the effort put into this service and talk is able to speak and spread your word across this earth. In your name I pray. Amen. It's an interesting time at the moment, isn't it? Being in lockdown for what feels like the zillionth week. But as Libby shared, we can be thankful for the beautiful weather and being able to go out and enjoy it in a simple, socially distanced ways. As we've drawn today together, it's brought different feelings out for every person being involved. Every single little thing that someone has done has probably created a little bit of anxiety in all of us, especially being on camera instead of being in front of a group of people that you can see and interact with them face to face, and you can see their reactions or whether they're nipping out to make a cup of tea. We find ourselves today in Acts, Luke's second book. In the first one, in the Gospel of Luke, he shares the account of all the things that Jesus did, saw, shared and experienced. It has an action-packed story with plenty of movie-like plot twists and turns in that account of what happened in Jesus' time. And Jesus might not have actually ever travelled more than about 126-ish kilometres and interacted with quite a small bunch of people. But then you fast forward to Ephesians, and already the gospel has travelled over 10 times that distance and probably been shared with hundreds and possibly even thousands of people. And then fast forward to today, and the gospel has travelled around the whole world through everyday people like you and I. People like Luke, people like Paul, and the other disciples, the fishermen, the tax collectors, the teachers, the carpenters, the youth workers, the young people, the students, all kinds of everyday people. Today, we can hear that good news at the tap of a screen, the click of a button, or you can ask Alexa, and other virtual assistants might be available. And as I prepared and as I talked with young people, three things bubbled up to the surface to shape what I'm going to share with you today. Be ready, be brave, step out. If you've known me for more than 5 minutes, you'll be aware I'm a naturally fidgety person. I don't stand still for very long, and you can call that or refer to that in however you think appropriate. I don't like sitting still, and when I can't go and do stuff, I find myself rebelling or becoming impatient. I was reminded as I prepared about a trip I took many years ago. Here's a picture of me, all packed up and ready to head out into the wilderness. I look almost happy to be going, but as the trip went on, the fact was that having no way to tell the time, and we had no idea how long the journey was going to be or where it was going to go, we just had to keep going, or even we didn't even know how long the run back to the activity centre at the end of the journey was going to be. I began to struggle, and my readiness became frustration and impatience. I questioned the trip leader again and again, but he calmly said to me each time, "You don't need to know what's next or when the run will happen. It's the journey and who you become on that journey that's important." Which brings me to something Luke Robinson shared. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back mysteriously, like he left. Isn't that a strange way of describing his return? Why is his coming back a mystery? In verse 7, Jesus says, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority." In Matthew 10, Jesus sends out the disciples with minimal possessions to find people of peace and grow God's kingdom. And feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace Paul talks about in Ephesians 6. So why the mystery? Even now, when you are going on a trip, or you've got something planned, or you know how long it takes you to get somewhere, you might have been looking forward to a holiday, for example, that's now been postponed, unfortunately, or travel somewhere before that you know should only take 4 hours. Did you ever find yourself getting distracted or bored with the waiting for the trip to happen or to get to the destination? Or maybe you're the person doing the driving and you hear from the passenger seat just down the street from where you started, "Are we nearly there yet?" No, we're at the end of the road. But what about when you don't know what's going to happen or how long it might take? Though that might be uncomfortable-ish for some of us, or sometimes, and it was on that trip that I mentioned, it can also increase our expectancy. The expectancy of what if help us focus on becoming more aware of what's unfolding around us. We find ourselves, our desire to be prepared and ready to go, or when we might get there, what might happen, we need to be ready and prepared, don't we? Which place would you rather be? Knowing the exact date Jesus will come back, which might mean you might get bored, distracted, or waiting for what? What are you waiting for? You might forget. Or maybe doing whatever you want until a couple of days before, and then cramming in the whole Bible in 24 hours and 24 hours of fasting and prayer, and then, ta-da, Jesus is there. Or would you rather not know the exact time so you can enjoy exploring what being ready is like for you? How do we get ready? Well, we engage with spiritual disciplines and rhythms that help us grow our connection with the Holy Spirit. And in turn, that creates a readiness in us. We can be ready. We've spent the previous weeks to this talking in our morning sermons about spiritual disciplines. Let's engage with them. Let's practice some of them. Matthew Robinson shared with me that at the moment it's really hard to connect with church because church just isn't the same. And it's hard to engage with worship and to pray because it's just a bit weird. And how being baptized with the Holy Spirit means he's with you every day. When have you found it tough to connect with others? When have you found it tough to connect with God in some worship or just to cry out to him in prayer? Have you ever been in a place where the music was so old or so loud that you just couldn't engage or connect with the worship, or everyone twice your age is jumping around in the house of God, but you just don't get it? I might regret what I'm going to say, but my mind goes to a time when I was nicknamed the Happy Anglican on a trip to the Ukraine. You can mock me later, and I'm sure you will. in a packed 6 by 10 metre room, which is about twice the size of room 6 at CTK, if you can remember how that big that is, with a sound system designed for a room that was 5 or 6 times bigger than room 6. I stood very close to a speaker, with pretty much everyone in the house bouncing around and lost in worship. I had to choose to be brave, choose to let go and seek God, and seek him in that worship, because he clearly was present, but I was just struggling to see him. The result, well, I ended up becoming lost in worship and jumping around and worshipping at the top of my voice, no matter what anyone thought. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus tells the disciples, and Paul is praying for the Ephesians to know the strength and power that is freely shared with each and every one of us through the Holy Spirit. And he speaks of an incomparable great power, and that same great power that raised Christ from the dead. That's the kind of power we can connect with when we let go and let God. When we're brave, when we seek his face in whatever our situation, be it in a loud foreign country or sat in our lounge or bedroom during lockdown. Thinking about what Matthew shared, each of us can find ourselves in all kinds of tough and challenging places and situations, isolated because of lockdown, asked to try something new or do something differently, asked if we're a Christian by someone we don't know, challenged to prove Jesus is real, or asked why some prayers just don't get answered. Those are the times when we need to be brave. We need to rest in God's strength. We need to let the Holy Helper, God's Holy Spirit, lift us and share that same strength and power that raised Christ from the dead. And the more ready we are, the braver we might be. After Jesus was taken up before them and hidden from their sight, the disciples are asked, "Why are you standing around looking in the sky?" The guys in white are like, "Hello, did you hear what he said? What are you going to do now? Just look at the sky till he comes back?" I wouldn't be surprised if they questioned if the disciples would ever step up or step out in power. The power that they could access, but also the power that came at Pentecost. The outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. I wonder if Jesus ever wonders that about us. "Come on, you can do it. Let's go. Let me help you. Come on, let's go. Come on, you can do it." Every day we step out in trust or belief that something will happen. Simple little things like the car will start. This video will upload to YouTube so you can watch it. Or sometimes stepping out in bigger ways. Maybe it might be going climbing or doing something for the first time. Maybe abseiling or something like that. Applying for a new job or a new role. It just stirs up a little bit of anxiety and we must be brave. But sometimes we hesitate, don't we? Or we don't step out because it appears a little too big a step to take. I know I've definitely felt like that, and I'm sure you have too. But we have a connection to God that is beyond our current understanding. We can have that. We can engage with that. He chooses each one of us, whether we realise it or not, whether we're still looking up at the clouds. God can do it with or without us. He wants us to do it with us. He wants to be in relationship with us because we are his body here and now. We are his hands here and now to help. We are his voice to call someone up and share encouragement and share good news with them. We're his servants to show people how to serve and how he serves us. And we are the demonstrators of his sacrifice and love here today on this earth. To be those things, it's best to let go and let God sometimes and trust that we can get involved with his plans that are far greater than ours. We can step out with confidence. Just watch this thought from Anna.
"What stood out for me was when Jesus says to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority.' And I think that stood out for me because it's quite relevant to the current situation, in the fact we don't really know when it's going to end or what's going to happen afterwards. But I think it's important to remember that our plans don't always look the same as God's, and in fact they're quite different, but his are always greater. And although we don't know why things happen, we can find peace and reassurance in knowing that it's all part of God's plan. So in knowing that, I think I'll try and not look at things as a negative, but more as a canvas for God's greatness and strength, knowing it's part of his plan."
Thanks, Anna. How might you change the way you look at God's great canvas this week? What's he inviting you to get involved with? What's he asking you to help his kingdom come? Maybe it's to pray and invite 5 people to Alpha Online at CTK. Maybe it's just to share a random act of kindness with a friend or neighbour. Maybe it's just to ring someone up and go, "Hi, how are you doing? Can I help?" Maybe you could text the first person that comes to mind when the service is over. But he calls us to be ready. He calls us to be brave. And maybe he's asking us to step out in bigger ways during lockdown than we may have ever thought possible before now. So as I close, I pray that the Holy Spirit will meet with you today and through the rest of this week. He will meet you in the next song of worship or in a unique and creative way that you know it's him talking to you. And that you might be ready and be prepared. You might be brave and be bold. And you might step out and see God do great and amazing little or massive things in your life and the lives of those around you. And I pray that for you today. Amen.